CliffCentral.com.
It's the weekend, baby!
Yes, good morning, everybody. Friday morning, what's happening? All right, I'm off to a good start today. Sure, woke up with so much energy. What's happening there, Sia? What's happening, Leanne Mole? What's happening?
Good morning.
Yeah, what's going on?
I remember last time we spoke, I was feeling a little under the weather.
Yeah, you thought you had COVID. Come on, stop. Just level with us. You thought, I've got COVID.
No, I wasn't that person.
Are you sure?
I knew it was a common cold, but I was worried about the fact that I'd spent time with my family and infected a whole lot of them.
Yes, because you thought you'd infected them with COVID. That's what I think that all the time when I get a little sniffle and I'm like, yeah, God, I hope it's not that. I don't want to kill anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I went for the test.
Yes.
I don't know. Have you been for a test yet?
No.
No. Is that the antibodies test or the COVID test?
The COVID test. So
my nose gets so itchy just thinking about that long. Oh God.
I know. So you get a choice, which I didn't know about.
The anal swab or the nose.
So there are three choices. The anal swab.
Yeah.
You can't even say that with a straight face.
No, I can't. Also, in the interests of public safety, I have to admit that that's a joke. Number two is the long Q-tip up your nose. And number three I didn't know about is a throat swab.
Ew.
Oh, you didn't know about that? Oh.
No. So she said to me,
is that even worse?
Which of the two do you want? And I said, what is a throat swab like? And she said, it causes gagging. And that's when I knew immediately, because I mean, if someone just makes a heave noise, I'll gag. So I said, no, we'll go for the nose swab.
Yeah.
And she said, okay, it causes mild discomfort.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I think they need to rephrase the mild.
Is it just discomfort?
Yeah, it was more than discomfort. But anyway, it's only for a few seconds, and you know that you'll get through it in the end. But anyway, it turns out I'm negative, which is fantastic.
Oh, that's good news. Yeah, that's very good news.
Yeah, also got over the flu. It went to my chest, had some coughing.
Yeah.
Here I am, alive to tell the tale.
I'm gonna quickly come back in because I don't know why my picture just froze and now it's gone black and everybody's talking about how I've disappeared like Lord Voldemort from Harry Potter. So.
Even though there's nothing wrong with going black.
No, it was the quickest race change ever. But
and I have to tell you, once you go black, you never come back.
Well, please do come back.
All right, I'm gonna come back in a second. Just try and amuse yourselves in the meantime. All right. Hang on. This will take just a second. Hold on. Let me see if I can get this working. Now, like on Monday, when we couldn't get anything but Webinar Jam to work. So now while I'm talking like this, only the people who listen to the podcast or the app are able to hear me. So it's like the opposite of the problem we had on Monday. So I could say anything to the people on the Cliff Central app or on the podcast, and they'd hear us now. But the people on Webinar Jam wouldn't know what the hell's going on. They're a bunch of douchebags anyway, so I don't care. All right, let me do this again. Sorry, got some problems here sound-wise, but we should be back up and running in just a second. Figure out what's going on here. All right, there we are.
The operative term.
Sorry, I was just gossiping about you with everybody else. Now I'm back. Everything's
on the side.
Yeah, we're doing exactly the same.
Oh, good. All right. So that's the. Oh, Leanne, I've got something for you quickly.
Oh.
Ooh. Look at this. What is this going on here? I've got a photograph.
That's my brother and I.
This is in 2003, Leanne.
And why am I showing my tits with my brother next to me?
So I've written I wrote on the back what it was is we launched those chirp parties, which were for under 18s, and you were probably already under 18 then, because we all looked so young. There's a picture of me. Anyway, you've got your tits. So it says on the back here, Leanne and her spray painted tits, Chirp 2003 Johannesburg.
Wow.
So there you are with your brother. And
I'm so confused.
And here's another one. I'll give these to you because I found that I was clearing out all my, but look how young you are.
No, now that exact photo.
Yes.
I have next to my bed framed.
Oh, wow. Okay. Oh. Well, I got a whole bunch of stuff and I put it in this box and I haven't been through it for a long time and I was clearing out some crap. And I thought, oh, wow, look at this. Who is that that girl in that picture? And I was like, Jesus, it's Leanne Moll. Look at you.
I guess this is the week for us to be nostalgic with Leanne, because earlier this week I also was going through some hard drives and I found some photos of Leanne.
Oh,
look at us there.
Jeez, that's not even so long ago, Sia. That must have been...
That was... our last show on 5FM.
So that was 7 years ago. Almost to Leanne's the day. Wow.
And Leanne's response was, I have cheekbones instead of cheek fat, and you're all demure. How we've changed.
Well, I must tell you, I hate seeing old pictures of myself because I remember how dorky I was. And I mean, there are very few pictures of me that I've ever liked, so we don't need to go back down that road. Because it'll open up a big can of worms about, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you changed physically a lot.
Yeah, I've really...
for the better. I've changed for the worse. But I remember saying to you once, every time I look in the mirror, I know it's the best I'm going to look.
Oh, God.
The next time I look, I'll look worse.
Yeah, I mean, you sent me a video of Elon Musk, which has got to be, and listen, this proves that there is hope for all of us. So we were talking about how this is probably the best that we will be. And we've spoken about it a number of times. You know, it could have been like 5 years ago. It could have been 10 years ago. It could be now. It could be in 10 years in the future. But Elon Musk, when he had his first supercar delivered, and Leanne sent me this video on YouTube. Just look it up. Look up Elon Musk supercar. How long ago was this? Because
20 years ago.
Elon had...
Oof. 1999.
He had worse hair. He had worse everything. He had just become a rich man. I think he just started X.com or he was on his way into one of those payment platforms. Could even have been PayPal that he'd started at that point. I can't remember, but he'd made some money for the first time ever. And if you look at Elon Musk in this video, you're like, wow, he is so super, super, super dorky. Like his movements,
so dorky.
Everything. Now he's like he's Iron Man, right? He's the coolest dude in the world. And not a week goes by where we don't mention his name. And everybody's going, oh, like, what a cool guy. And he's so super, super wealthy. And he's created how many businesses and continues to build businesses. But at that stage, he was the world's biggest dork.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Young is not always better.
I was so shocked.
Yeah, listen, being young is not always the only important factor here. Because Elon now is way, way cooler than the Elon then. 100
times. It's the cool factor, but also having money that you can use to spruce yourself up a little.
Well,
definitely.
Look, the one thing he's absolutely had, and it's clear to anyone who can see that video, is that he's had hair plugs or whatever. Because his hair
He's done something to his teeth as well.
Yeah,
he's done something to his teeth.
Yeah. So there's a lot of improvement.
Yeah, his teeth seemed back then almost like too big for his mouth. So, Haj, talking like this, talking about the McLaren supercar, that's $1 million.
So dorky, though. I mean, it's the funniest video because, and this is unfortunately what happens to all of us, right? I mean, who was I talking to about this just yesterday? You, Sia, we were talking about how some people have grown up on TV. And you know, in some ways, those of us who are in the media business have also grown up in front of everybody. So, like, you can go back and watch Idol's clips of me when I was 26, 27. There are photographs, obviously, long before then, and you know, there's a little bit of video here and there, but it's so embarrassing to see an old clip of yourself or an old pic of yourself and think, oh God, I looked so stupid. Because also the way the way that we dressed in the 90s, I mean, it was even worse. Worse in the 80s. I mean, the 80s, you know, people really dressed so strangely. And, you know, everybody thinks that their generation was the coolest one until you see those old pictures and you're like, oh my God, we wore those. You know, we wore that. That pattern was something that we would put on. It's terrible.
And
absolutely.
The 90s is all about what? Oversized clothing.
Yeah.
And everything was baggy.
Well,
we actually.
Well, what chance do us ordinary people have of ever getting any kind of coolness in our lives if the wealthiest people and the most famous people in Hollywood looked like shit? And they did.
So a few things about the Elon Musk video. Is it just me, or does he come across as extremely mysterious? I don't know what it is. It's almost like we don't know enough about him. He also seems to, he never ever talks about his South African heritage. And I wonder if it even matters to him.
Yeah.
His father was Canadian, his mom South African, I think. And also, looking back at that video, I'm scared to say this in case he sues me, because he's able to, but it could have gone either way. He could have become like a weird serial killer type dude.
Yeah.
Or he could have been who he is now. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I take an enormous amount of optimism and positivity out of this, because if Elon can get cooler over a period of 20 years and better looking and less weird and less serial killer-ish, then there's hope for all of us. Then it's not bad.
I've always wanted to look less serial killer-ish.
Yeah. But I didn't think he was mysterious. I thought he was just really dorky.
Mm. Besides his looks as well, there's this hope of, if you work on something and if you really just put in the effort and, you know, educating yourself, it can come to fruition.
Mm.
Because he could have also just sounded like a crazy, just crackpot who was talking about the internet, and no one was using the internet. People could have just been like, ugh, just stand on your soapbox, you crazy old man. But he actually is now the modern day rock star, because he worked for 20 years on this.
Well, you know, I still think that the positives outweigh the negatives here. And if anybody's feeling, I mean, like Billie Eilish one day, she's going to look back at the way that she looked now and she's going to be embarrassed, you know, because she might have like two kids. And she might have given up on the music career completely by then. And she'll look back in with the green hair and the oversized clothing and, you know, looking like she's crawled out of a dumpster. And I'm sure she'll go, ugh, what was I thinking? She'll be embarrassed. But by then, she'll be a different kind of person. Look, our memories are not very good, hey? Because we look back and we think, oh, we were so cool in those days. And I had the best 20s of anybody who's ever been in their 20s. And then you see the pictures, you're like, God, you look like such a douchebag. I almost wish you could go back and do a total PR cleanse. You're like, just make sure that everything is removed from, you know, the way that you looked and the way that you sounded and everything about you in the 1990s and 2000s.
Well, also, it's kind of necessary, because there were things that we said and tweeted and did in those days that we could be held accountable for today.
Listen, if you manage to find one of our shows, even from the last year we were in commercial radio, and you played it now, we'd probably be cancelled by a bunch of people.
Definitely. You know? I mean, there were things that we said, you know, we would joke about people with mental disabilities. We would talk about race in the way that we don't anymore.
Listen, we would bring up race all the time, and we would talk about it in a really, really funny way. We'd like stereotype the hell out of each other, and we would find reasons to laugh. I mean, I think it was healthy stuff, and it was necessary stuff at that stage. But now it just wouldn't be. It wouldn't be acceptable. A lot of people wouldn't get it.
Wouldn't fly. Yeah.
Do you know why? I heard this brilliant theory on this. From the guy who wrote that book, everything is fucked. Mark Manson, something like that. He has this theory that the reason, it could even have been someone else, but the reason that we are so prone for cancel culture and Mark Manson. The reason we feel that we are, when we're aggrieved, that everybody else needs to comply with our worldview, he reckons, is because somewhere in the 2000s, what was a good idea, and nobody can dispute that this wasn't a good idea, you know, we're talking about Elon Musk, but bullying was a problem. And people were bullied at school, and people, especially kids, their parents got involved. And there was this massive anti-bullying drive where schools had to enforce the rules of anti-bullying. And if kids were guilty of bullying, then, you know, they were basically censured by the school. And the minute any kid was mean to any other kid, the parents got involved, the teachers got involved. You know, adults started involving themselves in kids' social arrangements, because kids also have to find their place in hierarchy at school. But now the teachers are in, now the parents are in, and bullying was a no-no. And that's a good thing. We should be pleased about that. But it was taken to the limits of what is acceptable. And it was pushed so far that it was pushed beyond the point of being useful and beyond protecting kids who were genuinely being bullied. And it went into the territory of protecting kids who were unpopular, or making kids completely immune to any kind of social feedback. And those kids are now the ones who are online and who are telling other kids that they should be canceled, or telling other people they should be canceled. And it's just gone to their heads. Like, the idea of being immune to criticism is now something that everyone on the internet feels they're entitled to, because of probably what started in places like America in that anti-bullying movement of the early 2000s and late 90s. So those are the people now who are pushing for statues to come down and everything to conform to a world where they can feel happy, safe, and secure. You know, the whole safe spaces crowd. Those people are now the ones who are making the rules, because when they were at school, nobody ever gave them the social cues that forced them to comply with the basic rules of getting along with other people. So now they want everyone to comply with them. It was an interesting theory. And the reason
I see how that can be,
it relates to Elon Musk is he was bullied a lot at school. And in fact, a lot of people are talking about how Elon was asked for a donation by his old high school here in Pretoria. And he said, sure, I'll do it, but don't ever contact me again. That's the condition. And he was bullied at school, so he didn't enjoy being at school. But being bullied is important. Like, knowing that you're not the top dog, and knowing that your parents can't rescue you when things go wrong, and knowing that you have to fend for yourself and find your place in the hierarchy, is tremendously motivational for kids. And I'm by no means saying that it's a good idea for kids to be bullied, because I know how sensitive some parents are about that subject. And there are different kinds of bullying. I mean, there's some of it that's unacceptable in every way. But some gentle ribbing every now and then is probably how kids learn what is funny and what isn't, what they can and can't get away with, and what they should and shouldn't stand for. And if you never come up against that stuff, like Elon did, and it clearly built his character, because he was like, fuck you, world, I'm going to show you, as a result of partly the bullying.
Yeah. Yeah, I think when I think back, I feel embarrassed. I mean, bullying was... it wasn't even called it back then.
No,
it was just part of culture, and it's what we did.
There were the cool kids, and they just did whatever they wanted. And then there were the uncool kids, and they were just tortured and tormented every day.
Yeah.
I remember being halfway between the bullied and the bullying, because some of the stuff I was like dorky and nerdy a lot of the time, but then I had all the friends who were the cool kids, You know, like I had this one friend who used to smoke and she was always in trouble. Another friend who was like,
you're still like that, actually.
Yeah, the captain of the rugby team. And then I had my dorky friends and we'd sit and talk about like, you know, TV shows to the nth degree. And we'd solve like mathematical problems because we were interested in something way beyond the lecture. And somehow I managed to straddle both sides of that, which is, I suppose it was also good for me because it allowed me to talk to anybody. And I still regard that as being something that I'm very proud to be able to do. You know, if I meet someone who's got... I think if I meet someone who's got very different interests to me and they come from a very different part of the world or different kind of background to me, I always find that interesting, where a lot of people find that quite threatening. So it has advantages. But, I mean, I remember in primary school, we were horrible to one of these kids. There was a kid at primary school who was, I think he must have been a bit weird. He might have been on the autistic spectrum even. Man, did we, and I'm talking about like 9 and 10-year-old kids. We were probably around that age. We bullied this poor bastard. How he didn't end up like losing his mind or going crazy. And he ended up, I think he was fine because he went into the Air Force or something. And I caught up with him maybe about 10 years ago. And he's cool. He's like, he's a normal dude now. He's got his life very much in order. And he's by no means an unsuccessful or loserish type person, but at school he really was. And we were just horrible to him. When I think about it, I go cold.
Man, what's the worst thing that you guys did to him?
No, we didn't like physically abuse the kid, but like we would tease him the whole time. Be like, oh, you know, your shoes are shit, or, you know, your hair looks stupid, or, you know how kids are.
The, all of these memories now coming back, and I'm feeling sick to my stomach.
Yeah,
as someone who was bullied, I'm feeling so ill. Like, there was a point, now this is becoming a support group, so give me a moment.
Go for it, Sia. Open up. Tell us how you feel.
There was one point in my schooling career where break was just the worst time for me, because even though you had people who were teasing you in class, there was still a teacher around. There was still that we all had to conform. At least everyone was sitting at their desk and nothing could happen to you. But break was just,
oh, it was torture for you.
You were out on the field and anything could happen. So that's how I ended up befriending a lot of teachers. And there was always like a teacher on duty or something. So I'd be like, oh, don't you want me to hold your books and let's walk around?
And you were actually trying to protect yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes me
with it.
That makes me so sad.
With the teacher on duty and walk around with them anything.
Can I tell you why I'm not sad, Leanne? I'm not sad because, Sia, look at how advanced he is in years and look at how he had to adapt up. Well,
I should have been picking, I don't know, nuts off the ground with the other kids, talking about the young and the restless.
Is that what you think we did? Pick up nuts off the ground?
What did kids do?
How do you think you would have been different today? If you had just been one of the other kids who got along with all the other kids and who was never teased, as opposed to what you had to do was to adapt up to the adults and try to have conversations with them. It was to protect yourself because you didn't want to be bullied or beaten up or whatever, but it made you that much more mature, that much more quickly. And I'm not going to defend bullying. I think bullying is shit, but there are different levels of bullying, you know? You have to put up with some hardship as a child. And there are parents these days who are, they are so involved in their children's normal social adaptive behavior that their kids actually never learn to stand up for themselves. Their kids don't have any idea of how to behave. They don't know how to fit in. They are socially awkward for the rest of their lives in a way that isn't just dorky like Elon Musk was, but that is downright sad. Now, that's sad. So I don't feel sorry for
Sia. It's also tough for some parents. I have now subsequently, they're both my friends, but she was my friend first and they're in a relationship. And so they now have a blended family. She has a daughter and then he has two daughters and they, you know, range from, I'd say 13 to now 4 years old. And my friend was telling me this knee-jerk reaction he has with their youngest, who's about 6 years old, being bullied by the elder two. And it's like, I want to protect, but no, this is good for you. But I really want to help you and not see you suffer. You know, but actually, I must.
Can you imagine all the kids, all the kids now? And we spoke about this with that teacher the other day. All the kids now who are getting none of those cues socially because they're not, they're only with their parents. So everything's like love and acceptance and all that stuff the whole time. That when the real world comes to meet them at some point, it's going to break their hearts. Because they're now so much weaker after this year of lockdowns and not actually mixing with other kids that they've forgotten even how to behave. So Dr. Robin says, I was definitely in the bullied group. It was horrible. My parents had no idea. The cool, the uber cool teacher did and seemed to be trying hard to impress the cool kids, did nothing. But a year or so later, they found a new target. Phew. Yeah, that also happens. And here's a point made by Tracy. Wow. She says, my 8-year-old was bullied severely at school for a few weeks. We turned it around and looked at an opportunity to help the other kid. That little boy, the bully themselves, and that bully always has issues too. And what's good for them when it comes to bullying is that sometimes they discover compassion and sometimes it improves them as well. Because somewhere along the way, they start feeling bad about what they've done. And that's really important because otherwise those kids continue to be bad. And nobody ever corrects them because they always take, you know, they take it out on them. They're like, you must stop bullying. But actually, those kids need to learn compassion. And the way that that happens is when they take it too far and they get into trouble. And sometimes
that's very big of you, Tracy.
So Tracy says that little boy had so many issues. He was adopted quite late in life, had to endure some serious stuff that no kid ever should. His parents were amazing. We worked through it together. My son was awesome throughout it all. Although he was the victim, he was not the only one.
Very good.
I mean, we've got to get into this a little bit more, but we've got to get to headlines now. So let's do that first and see what's going on in the news. Here are some things you need to know this morning. First of all, 2.7 million hectares have been transferred to land claimants. Last night, the president did his State of the Nation. Anybody watch?
No, I saw highlights.
Yeah, me neither. I didn't watch.
Nope.
So he made a big deal of this. 2.7 million hectares of land has been transferred to land claimants. He says the government will fast track land reform by launching an agency. Another place where we have to pay people salaries to sit around and do nothing. I mean, government has had the ability to transfer land since 1994. The fact that they're only doing it now tells you that they don't really care about this. They just use it as a political issue when elections come around. But they've distributed over 5 million hectares of land, they say, to date, totaling around 5,500 farms to 300,000 beneficiaries. This, in addition to the land restitution process, which has benefited over 2 million land claimants and resulted in the transfer of 2.7 million acres. So, in other words, we're making progress here. The next time anyone brings up land and says nothing ever happens and the land is still in the hands of blah, 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 bullshit. You can't have it both ways. Either it is a problem that government have never dealt with, or they're doing something about it and you can't say that we need expropriation without compensation. Either way, the buck stops with government. And if they're not doing enough, then your issue should be with the ANC. And it's like Tito yesterday, when we were talking about this in the Burning Platform, Tito Mboweni tweeting that, you know, white people are all inherently racist and that there's this duty incumbent on white people to pay their taxes as if to make amends for apartheid. I mean, it's just outrageous. It's the same as this bullshit idea that all the land in South Africa is owned by white people. Absolute bullshit. Absolutely nonsense. And if you believe that, you really need to have your head read because the statistics show otherwise, and statistics don't lie. Floyd Shivambu's case, his trial has been postponed. The National Prosecuting Authority says the EFF's deputy president's defense has requested the case be moved to 2 June. Remember, he was expected to appear in Cape Town on Thursday. He's accused of common assault after allegedly attacking journalist Adrian de Kock. The altercation took place all the way back in March of 2018 when he refused to have his picture and he assaulted the guy. Remember that? So now he's got to go to trial, but it'll only be on the 2nd of June. Then this from Times Live this morning. The Gupta family's luck landed in the lap of former Eskom board member Mark Pamensky. He is a lucky guy, according to his own testimony before the Zonda Commission. He says he was just very lucky. His good fortune began when he attended the Gupta wedding in 2013. He said he knew none of the Gupta family members, but they sent an invitation to his then employer, Blue Label Telecoms. I took the invitation and went because I'm single. Everyone else is married, and I went to Sun City, he told the evidence leader. Are you suggesting that the Gupta family just sent an invitation to a company they didn't know anything about? So he responded, yes. Not only did he attend the wedding, but he also presented the newlyweds with a gift. I mean, come on. Who believes all this shit? So he says, this is Zondo. Judge Zondo says, it sounds strange that they would send an invitation to a company they'd never have had any interaction with. So he said, they out of the blue, they invited me. And then he received a call to have a cup of tea with Tony Gupta. So he went over and they got their contact details and they had a meeting. And Tony Gupta explained to him what Sahara Computers was all about and their mining operations and everything else. 3 months later, Atul Gupta invited him to be a non-executive director of one of their companies. I mean, this has never happened to you, Leanne, or to you, CEO, to me, you get invited to be on a board of a company just because people, they met you once at a wedding. Very, very odd.
Just to be invited randomly to the wedding as well.
Yeah. And then, of course, he was put on the board of Eskom, which I think should be something. If you've been on the board of Eskom, I don't think you should be allowed to work in South Africa ever again. You should be condemned to poverty because
oh my god,
because you're probably a very, very bad person. Anyway, he says he was on the board of Optimum Coal and he was on the board of Eskom and there were conflicts of interest. And I mean, this is just outrageous. But he says he's going to appear again at the Zondo Commission on a date yet to be determined and spill more beans. This is Mark Pamensky.
Jeez. Sure.
Yeah. Incredible.
That's a lot.
It's a lot of bullshit. That's what that is. And then the impeachment trial of Donald Trump is going ahead. And there was evidence being led yesterday. I watched 10 minutes of it and then I just couldn't anymore because it was boring. I mean, it was really just political grandstanding, in my opinion.
So the Democrats now have raced with their case, right?
Yeah. I think so.
And then today it's time for the defense to give theirs.
So apparently Trump's got terrible lawyers and they've done an awful job so far. So they're not helping.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway, the story at the moment is that impeachment prosecutors used rioters' own words to link Mr. Trump to the violence while arguing that the riot had caused long-term harm. Democrats presented accounts from police, staff, intelligence officials, and foreign media to pursue their case. Former president's defense team will present their arguments today. Democratic-led House of Representatives impeached Mr. Trump last month, accusing him of inciting the riot. But there's a problem here. They've both got to move quite fast, the Republicans and Democrats. Democrats want to move fast because they know that people's patience is running out. Most people are not that interested in this Trump story anymore. And as time goes by, they become less and less interested because he's not in government anymore, right? So it's almost like trying a dead man. There's no real point. And then added to that, the Republicans wanted to hurry up because they want to, as quickly as possible, dissociate from Donald Trump. So nobody really has an interest in dragging this thing on, and we'll have to wait to see. But if Mr. Trump is convicted, the Senate could also vote to bar him from holding elected office ever again. I think that might be an important point for the Democrats, is that they keep him out of future elections. So we'll see what happens. But I watched a bit of it yesterday, and I found it very, very boring. Maybe it's just me, though. I just thought it was very dreary. President Biden has canceled funding for the Trump border wall in a related story. He has rescinded the national emergency order used to fund Donald Trump's border wall. He wrote the order and said it was unwarranted and no further tax dollars would be spent on the wall. When Trump left office, $25 billion had been spent on the project. The announcement from Biden is the latest in a series of executive orders that have rolled back key parts of the former president's agenda. So, you know, what worries me a little bit more than would ordinarily about this is that if Biden comes in as president and just retracts all of Trump's decisions and all of Trump's policy moves, then what's to stop a Republican coming in after Biden and doing the same? And then it becomes this tit-for-tat thing where we never ever get any new laws and we never ever progress in any direction because each president is just throwing out the former president's stuff. You know, it kind of feels a bit childish, don't you think?
But you can't say you're surprised.
No, I mean, Trump did this to Obama, but it didn't happen that much before then, as far as I know. I mean, you know, Clinton kept a lot of the Reagan and Bush one era moves, and there were improvements overall to legislation, to new policy ideas. As far as I know, it wasn't so partisan that the Republicans just wanted the opposite of what the Democrats wanted every time. But who knows? I might be wrong on that front. It might just have seemed that way, even though we didn't have social media. We didn't have a very polarized media machine that was either left or right. Maybe that's part of the problem. Venetia says, I had a handyman over in the week to do some work in my ensuite bathroom. I left him alone, and when I came back to check, he had removed his mask and kept it in my bed along with some of his tools and a cloth he used for cleaning. I just walked away. When I came back to check again, I found him taking a break and sitting on my bed. Is this normal? Leanne, you're on mute.
It's not normal. No. It's definitely not.
I mean, a handyman sitting on your bed and putting his mask on your bed, and no, thank you. No.
Don't you sit down and take a break when you're working sometimes?
No. Yes, but Sia, when you're paying someone for a service,
People are paying you at work as well, but you take a break.
I don't sit on other people's beds. I don't sit on
other people's beds. I don't condone that part.
If I was working and I was in my boss's house, I would not sit on his bed at any point.
Okay, yeah. It sort of leads me to a conversation a friend of mine had brought up a few days ago, and I thought, I don't know. She was saying that her helper, she was debating whether or not to give her helper access to the Wi-Fi. And I asked, why? She goes, well, no, then she'll be on her phone all the time, and then she'll be on social media. I said, when you're at the office, aren't you also snooping on Facebook
exactly.
when you should be working?
You know what, Sia? There are so many... If you talk about domestic workers, that's a completely different subject. There are so many things that are overlooked when it comes to domestic workers. Number one, they should definitely have access to your Wi-Fi. Okay.
I agree.
Number two, if they are going to work all day to clean up your mess, mm-hmm. And your bathroom and your shower, then the least you can do is offer for them, especially if they still have to travel a long way home and they've sweated over their work, to have a shower. That's what I always offer my domestic worker. If she wants to have a shower, she can. There are just certain things that people overlook when it comes to domestic workers, and I don't like it.
Would you offer a handyman a shower?
A handyman's not...
I don't know. The lines are blurred.
Everybody has their own rules. You can't make rules for everyone. You've got to do whatever's right for you. You know, some people... they say, and again, who knows who's right and who knows who's wrong? You make your own rules with your domestic worker, like you make your own rules with your own family, and like you make your own rules with your coworkers. I would prefer no one in my house, friends, family, domestic worker, anybody to use my bathroom. There are other bathrooms in the house; those will be used, and I just don't. I will not have anyone in my bed who's not of my choosing, and I won't have them sitting on my bed who's not of my choosing. Just let's respect people's space here. And I've got very old school and traditional ideas of kind of how domestic arrangements ought to happen. And that's maybe just a bit weird on my part, because I know it's not the norm for everybody. But I mean
when it comes to my bedroom and my bathroom,
yeah,
I completely agree with you.
Yeah. But some people only have one bathroom or bedroom, so what are you gonna force them to do what you do? And I don't know. No one uses my loo except me. No one. Nobody. Mm. And if they did when I'm not looking or when I don't know, then that's their business.
And then let's take it a step further where I'll use the word exploit, where some people exploit their working environments. So, for example, some people go to work and they print invitations for their children's parties at the company printer. Would you feel the same, like, is acceptable in your own household?
Again, I think that Leanne's right about the Wi-Fi thing, but I don't like the idea of too much familiarity. I don't like too much familiarity with my coworkers, and I don't like too much familiarity with the person who cleans my house. I think that not everybody has to be your best friend. My sister-in-law and her domestic worker are like, they're thick as thieves, okay? The two of them talk to each other. They sit down, have coffee together every morning. And there's like a whole familial thing going on there, which I don't get because that's not how I am.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not like that. And everybody has their own little balancing act that they do. So you work out the relationship.
Yeah.
And it's not about everybody has to do the same thing. And it's not about a level of respect or disrespect. Everyone has different working relationships and you want different things from each other. I don't think you need to be best friends, but you also shouldn't be like a master-servant relationship, because I don't think that always works very well.
Yeah, but also you can't just have the same relationship with every domestic worker, or you can't put all of those onto the same level. There might be a person who works in your home who you click with and you do become friends, but it doesn't mean that you have to be besties with the next domestic worker.
No, of course. It's down to the individual and it's down to the relationship. And everyone is
different. I had a domestic worker in McGregor, Yvonne, spelled Evon.
Mm-hmm. Halala.
And we used to call her Tom Selleck, because she had a very impressive moustache.
Did you call her Tom Selleck to her face or behind her back?
Behind her back. But also, I wanted to say to her so many times, Yvonne, come, let me show you how to wax your moustache. Also, because she never understood why she was single.
Oh.
But anyway, the two of us had a brilliant relationship, and she still to this day messages me for my birthday or just to say, I had a dream about you last night, or I'm thinking about you, how are you doing? So it doesn't have to be like, you don't have to set that standard for every domestic worker. You know, it's just if you strike up a friendship, that's great.
Well, Mr. Schmangel says he had to fire his cleaning lady because she stole his weed.
Oh.
So.
He says, I always wondered why she was always happy.
I see how that's a thing.
Yeah.
See why you'd have to do that.
You do it your way. Oh, listen, I've got some news. Shame, you know my mother's old Jack Russell. Miles. Yeah, she decided that yesterday was the day, so she took him, and my sister went with her, and they had him put down, and poor Miles is gone.
Miles.
So I haven't seen them since they did it, but I'll go and visit today. And apparently she's very, very upset. I mean, this dog was hers for like, what, 14, 15 years?
I mean, yeah, I even remember Miles.
Yeah.
Mm.
Deranged, crazy Jack Russell, but a real character. So he's no longer in the family.
Do they do anything for him?
I don't know, but I was looking at Carl yesterday, and I was talking to him. I said to him, you know, I said to him, Carl, you know, they've put Miles down. So he just looks at me and
because it's his cousin.
I know, he just wags his tail. So I said to him, yeah, it's very sad, Carl. One day, you know, we might have to do that with you. And he just wags his tail. Well, I mean, you got to be honest with your dog or your kid. That's why I'm not a parent, because you imagine me saying to my kid, well, Yeah, if you get bullied at school, that's just the way it is. I'm not going to help you.
Yeah. Or, you know, you could also be crushed by a car one day.
Yes. Yeah. So I feel very sorry for my mom because she loved this dog to pieces. And he really was a, I mean, all animals have a way of working their way into your hearts. And, you know, even though he became very irritating, Miles, he was a lovely dog and he had such character.
So. You've always said that he's so stupid. Don't be that person now that just because he's dead, you're saying that he's
right.
Nice.
Yeah, all right. I mean, I was ready. I said to my mom, I'll take him. I'll take him to the vet for you. And she was like, no, I've got to do it. So she's done it.
I've never been able to see that. I've never wanted to as well.
It's hard.
I've always made sure that with every pet, even I'm even the person that other people in the family call. Because I spend those last moments with them, holding them. It's horrible.
Sorry, on a bit of a similar note, I saw, even though I didn't watch the Sona, the only thing that I saw about it last night was John Steenhuisen posting a selfie of him and Jackson Mthembu saying something along the lines of, oh, my dear friend, it's just not the same without you, and I miss you. I had to squint and look at that and go.
See, I just don't. Politicians are so dishonest. I don't believe that. I don't believe he thought.
Convenient
about,
now.
Like suddenly he's all sad about Jackson and Temple. You know, I don't know. Maybe they were close. Who knows? But I don't believe politicians. I just don't believe them. All right. So lots of other things we've got to get to this morning. Remind me in a little while. We've got to talk to George Meany among other things this morning. We've got some good emails that I want to get to. I got a message from this one dude who's in Norway who has something to say about titles, which we spoke about on Monday. And we'll get to that. And then Laure Maisel is going to join us. Lorraine Maisel will be our guest at 7:30. She is deeply in love and she's being spoilt rotten in her relationship. And we'll find out what's going on there as well. So plenty of stuff to get to.
Hey, yeah, Valentine's Day is coming up.
Valentine's Day. It's this weekend, right? Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
On Sunday.
Yeah, it's Sunday. The shops have been shoving it down our throats. Hey? Wow.
I haven't been to the shops. What are they doing? Is it the hearts and chocolates and all that shit?
Yeah, flowers and you know, there's... Everything's like triple expensive, and you know that it's going to be on sale in a few weeks' time.
Yes. Oh, God. All right. Well, here's a song for Leanne and everybody else from the 80s and 90s. It'll make you feel really old, but you think you're cool when you hear music like this until you look at actual photos of what you looked like at the time. All right. Just like we were talking about at 6 o'clock this morning. Here's something very old that you probably think sounds cool. But if you watch the music video, you'll scream because it's so revolting. CliffCentral.com